Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are after a week off, and it is October 23rd. 2012, and lots been going on.
Yeah, I think we need to formally, for a moment, thank the powers that be that were, you know, at our request, that changed the debate from Tuesday nights to Monday nights so that we wouldn't be preempted.
Yeah, I know. That was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, that was some
nerve.
And
the debate was terrible, too, now that you mention it.
Come on, there was a couple, the last debate, there was a couple of good, there was a couple of memorable moments, I thought.
I liked the debate before when they were just about to start swinging at each other.
Well, Candy Crowley was the best. She was the best moderator. The other two old codgers, what is the story? Is there a rule, a law?
Yeah, you have to
be 90 and can't moderate the moderator?
And now I'm going to throw it to you, Mr. President.
The best, I mean, there's been some great things. The Romney's binders. You saw that?
Binders,
you
know, his of women.
But, you know, I mean, as soon as that hit.
That wasn't this week. That was the one.
That was last week.
Yeah.
But we missed last week. We didn't talk. So as soon as that hit, all of a sudden there's a Twitter handle, Romney's Binders. It's got like 15 or 20,000 followers.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, I mean, I thought the bayonets and horses, that line, that was, I mean, a major smackdown of Romney.
Well, that was a setup. Romney could have swiped back and said, well, Mr. President, the Marines still use bayonets. And are you associating horses with the U.S. Navy?
I mean, yeah, they could have gone that kind of crazy route, but it was funny. I mean, I thought that was a great line. But other than that, I agree that it was a very dry, you know, they repeat the same points over and over, which they need to do. Obama came out much more aggressive this time. But, you know,
seemed to be nodding his head a lot and he was glowering. I taped it because I switched right over to the Giants Cardinals game. Screw this debate.
Yeah, smart. Smart.
Good
Very
game.
Smart.
Good game.
Yeah, this was not a great debate. But they're now tied, it seems, or at least close.
They always say that just to get more money and so these networks can make more money for the next quarter's earnings.
Back to the media theory again, huh?
It's not a theory, it's obvious.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, what would you do?
It's close. You got to watch every second, every move. We're going to have it here live, streaming, only here on, you know, Andrew TV. I agree. So let's talk about what's going on in the markets. Markets have been in a bit of a tailspin, kind of getting a little bit wonky on us. In fact, if you look at what's been going on with earnings this season, it's absolutely abysmal. And I will tell you that the markets do not accurately reflect what's going on underneath. You saw what happened with Google. Google was halted last Thursday for a number of hours after somehow the printer of the earnings report inadvertently released it early. Did you see that?
Yeah, it was hilarious.
I don't know. And the stock gapped down. It was down 9%. Larry Page gets on it. You know, what's with his voice? What is going on?
He had something wrong with his throat.
It sounds awful. I mean, it sounds like it's still horrible. It was a while ago, though.
Yeah, I wonder about this. I think maybe he had throat cancer or something, in an operation, or had polyps, or
something's,
I don't know.
Something's not right. He's not sounding very good. Young guy. But Google's earnings, was one of their worst quarters in a long time. Stock gapped down and never came back. It was down another 1.5%. It's up a little bit today. But that was interesting how that was, you know, one. And you kind of add up all the others. You know, Microsoft, their earnings weren't impressive at all. And you kind of go down the list of all the big boys. And, you know, like Apple down 100 points from its high. And you look at most of the banks are gapped up a little bit but came back. And, you know, still the S&P 500 is down slightly from its high. I mean, it's down, what, maybe 3 or 4%? That's not a lot, considering how poor the earnings are coming in, and more importantly, the outlooks, the corporate outlooks by management and their guidance have been just terrible. It's like nobody wants to believe it. Nobody's selling their shares. Or, you know, they're going to wait till – my concern is they're going to wait, and all of a sudden everybody's going to pile in and sell the crap out of it.
Yeah, I think that's a good possibility.
And especially with that lack of liquidity and – You know, we saw that a bit today. I mean, there was a run for the exits today after holding support in that weird last hour move yesterday. And, you know, today was a pretty brutal day for markets. And a lot of that was due to DuPont's earnings, the worst move on DuPont since 2008. They were down 8.5% after abysmal earnings. Matter of fact, they came out at 6 a.m. with their earnings report. That's exactly when futures, you know, finally kind of caved in this morning, and then it didn't stop from there. A couple of news items popped it, but things are not looking very good from a corporate standpoint. And clearly, we knew this was going to be a soft quarter, but I think a lot of investors didn't believe it. They bid up markets into it, and now they're paying the price. We saw Yahoo, by the way. Yahoo had a decent quarter, or at least finally had a decent quarter.
Well, that's because they just counted the money. They sold Alibaba. This is like a stock buyback. They sold Alibaba, and they threw that in, didn't they? Didn't that result in the quarter looking fair? I mean, their real sales haven't gone anywhere at all.
No, sales have not gone anywhere at all. I think there's a lot of a hope trade going on with this Marissa Mayer, who, by the way, is my hero. I mean, working right up to the day of her pregnancy and then is on a conference call for earnings like 2 weeks after she has a baby.
Yeah, yeah. That baby's going to be neglected. I can guarantee it.
Oh, boy. But anyway, the point
is
that...
Well, actually, she won't be. She'll probably have about six nannies, but it'll be, you know, when she goes home, whenever she comes home from work, when the kid's older, she's going to be... Hey, Nanny, who's that strange woman?
Right, exactly. But, you know, they did have some good things to say. I think there's a lot of buzz going on. This, you know, she seems to be creating a buzz at the company, you know, giving out iPads and things to people, hiring all sorts of people at extraordinary cost to the company, but still trying to really beef it up and do something much different. Now, whether she executes on that or it's just a lot of, smoke and mirrors at this point, a little icing on top of the cake. I don't know. But they have to do something very significant to obviously change things around, get rid of the excess baggage, monetize mobile, which is one thing they talked about at length. So we'll see what happens.
They need a Yahoo phone. That'll close the deal. They should go out right now and buy Nokia.
You know, did you see the new new ad that just popped on for the new Google laptop, Chrome laptop?
You have a plane flying over.
Where?
Over your head.
No, I'm in a plane right now. You hear us landing.
Oh, okay. The new Google laptop, the what?
Yes, the Google Chrome laptop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
Is that something new, or is that just something like
it's
a commercial?
A new version of it, of something they brought out some time back, and then they also have the Chrome box.
Did anybody ever buy that?
The Chrome box actually it might be useful, but the Chrome laptop just seems like something. I mean, unless you're – it just doesn't make any sense to me. They're too expensive. If they were $10, I'd buy one.
If they gave it away with a contract, right?
In fact, that's the other thing is that Apple came out today with their 7-inch iPad, you know, which – so essentially they bought out an iPad to match the Nexus 7, which is $199. And because they're Apple, they're charging $329. Really?
Well, that was a big problem. I'll tell you, we want to skip over to this point. First of all, Apple had a conference today. First time they streamed it live.
Yeah, it's about time.
You know, all these other places, you had to go look at the bloggers writing and seeing pictures. I don't know why they never did this before. But, okay, so they stream it real time. And they come out, Tim Cook comes out, and he talks about the various, you know, with all the words about fascinating and, you know, all these great things about their energy efficiency. They announce a new iPad 4, which I was kind of surprised about. Were you surprised about that?
Yeah.
I mean, I was like, didn't they just come out with the iPad 3 like a couple months ago?
Well, I was actually surprised by the whole thing.
Well, then they did a refresh of the Mac Mini, which I thought was kind of dying by the wayside, but it seems not. They came out with a new 13-inch Retina display. I think it's a solid state. You know, it's kind of like in between the Air and the MacBook Pro. And with a price tag of $1,699, which, you know, how much is a PC laptop these days? You get one for about $400?
You can get a good one for $450, $500.
Yeah. Then they have a total refresh of their iMac line. And these guys, I don't know what the deal is, why they are so fascinated by the thinness of a machine. Like, what do you, are you going to put something behind the machine? Is this something, is there a reason that you need to squeeze it in a closet and put it inside your shelving area? I don't understand what the whole point of how thin it gets. What is that?
Yeah, when they were going on and on about the thinness of the iMac, I was, for some reason, I misunderstood what they were first talking about and thought it was a new Air or some laptop where they're trying to promote thinness. And then when I found it was an iMac, I was thinking, okay, well, that's nice, but it's kind of pointless. It was already thin enough. It wasn't like a big giant clunker.
No. Listen, it was a flat panel. It was thinner than most flat panels to begin with.
Yeah.
As a full machine with all the computer parts inside of it. So now they come out with this, a new line of that, which caught me off guard when they said that that Macs are the number one desktop. Let me see what this line is. I wrote this down.
It was Apple Macs, carefully worded.
Apple's Mac is the number one desktop in the U.S. market.
For a single brand.
What does that mean?
That means I guess it's the Mac or the Mac line or the iMac. I forgot how they had this put together. But in terms of a single brand of a machine like this, their logo would appear on more machines than any one other vendor. Not in terms of overall. I mean, it's only still 20% of market share maybe. But in terms of one single brand, they have
I don't get it.
There's more of their machines out there than there are gateway machines, let's say, or than specifically.
Well, that's not seemingly what they said. I mean, they made it seem like the Mac was the number one desktop, and I'm thinking, how is
that
possible?
They're saying, no, that's not the way. No, they worded it funny to make it to befuddle, you know, people that live in Florida.
Hmm. They did a good job of it. But it seems that the Mac's growth has outpaced the PC market for the past 6 years, which I'm not sure what that says, but that's pretty amazing. And the MacBook lineup is the number one notebook in the U.S.?
I think that's true.
That's the overall.
I think that might be true.
That's very impressive, especially with the prices they're charging for it.
Although I think maybe in terms of current sales, because if you go on an airplane, there's a lot of MacBooks in there, but it's still not the most computer you'll see.
Right. Well, anyway, so let's see if I missed anything. They came out with, Apple. Okay. They have the 13-inch, the Retina display with that, refreshing the iMac desktop line. Now they have the iPad mini. And
yeah,
I agree with the
mini pad.
Yeah, the mini pad. So, and they have the iPad 4, which I thought was really interesting that they did that, because it seems like they, you know, made the iPad 3 obsolete already. Now, what was interesting to watch was what we were all waiting for, what was the price tag and the price levels of the new iPad and the iPad or the iPad mini. And what you saw was the stock was holding up okay throughout the discussion. When they touched on, at the moment they talked and touched on the price points for the iPad mini, stock tanked.
Yeah, I wasn't watching the ticker at the time. That's funny, though. It doesn't surprise me.
No. As a matter of fact, in my office, we were talking about, I said the number one thing in this conference call, except, you know, there's some surprises like the new iPad and a few of the other little things that went on. But the number one thing in this for the stock is going to be, what is the pricing point for this iPad? Because the fact is they need to compete really with the Kindle and, like you said, the various other device tablets out there and really kind of take over that market. And if they come in too high, the problem is going to be, you know, you can get an iPad 2 for the same price, or maybe even now the iPad 3 for that price. So they really aren't as competitive with it. And, you know, you really want to make that a super duper competitive deal where it's just going to be like, you know, the sales will be blown out.
Apple doesn't seem to have this gene, which is the real competitive cutthroat gene. I'm reminded of a story told me a long time ago. I guess this happened, I think, in the 70s. Tektronix was leading the world with oscilloscopes. And Hitachi was going to enter the market with a competitive oscilloscope. It was going to be have more whiz. You know, it's going to be just loaded with all kinds of gizmos and stuff. And Tektronix was aware of this, and so they started development of another line of oscilloscopes, waiting for this to happen. And so we'll just say that, let's say we're talking about Tektronix oscilloscope for, say, $1,000, and Hitachi's going to blow into the market at $650 and try to just grab market share. And they did. They came in. These prices aren't what happened because I don't remember.
Right.
But they did come in with some really low price, high quality product. And then immediately Tektronix blew out their new brand of super high end, beat anything the Hitachi product was for $500.
Wow.
And essentially took the other guys completely out of the market.
Which is kind of what Starbucks did to Green Mountain.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the kind of thing that you do if you're an aggressive company that really takes yourself seriously.
Right.
Apple, already the Nexus 7 is out. It's been out for what? I don't know, 4 months, 5 months, whenever,
right.
6 months. And it's $200. And it's a tablet. And it's nice. It's pretty. It's an Android. It's not as good as an iPad. And so they bring out the same essential product for $329. They should have brought that thing out for either the same price or $179 or something. Or, I mean, I was guessing they'd bring it out at $229. I didn't expect them to go over $300, even though that was rumored. I just think it was a complete botch.
Well, there's two different prices. One's the Wi-Fi only, and one's the cellular version.
Yeah, okay. Well,
the cellular version is more expensive.
Yeah, well, as far as I know, the Google one doesn't have a cellular version. It's just Wi-Fi only, but it's still $199, and they never came close to that price. This is not going to work for Apple. I think
stock definitely. We'll see also this week. They have Apple's earnings coming out in a couple of days, so we'll see what happens there. Don't forget that last earnings for Apple was a miss. And a guy down.
Right.
And the stock immediately went up 10%.
Right. Well, we'll see what happens.
And we're back down to it at this point. Now, let's talk about some other things because it's really important to talk about stocks and what's going on in the markets right now. Vindicated finally on Buffalo Wild Wings. Comes out with earnings tonight. They crapped out. They came in under, just like management said last quarter, that they were worried about this quarter. And even though they told this to investors last quarter, investors bid up the price after earnings, after the drop from about 74 to about 86, 87, 88, something like that. And now they come out, they missed on EPS, they missed on revenue, and the stock after hours goes from 86 down to 70. I think the low is about 71.
Hmm.
We were short the shares. We covered our shares in the after hours for about a 12.5% gain on today's move. But we'll see what happens here. But if you look at what's going on, there's kind of a strange thing going on. Panera Bread beat, and they were up 5.5%. I can't stand that place.
Yes.
Chipotle, you agree. Chipotle.
No. I mean, I've been to Panera. I didn't think it was anything great, but you literally hate the place.
Yeah, I can't go there. I won't even go there for the free Wi-Fi.
Okay.
It's horrible. Chipotle, after earnings, was absolutely hatcheted. Stock is trading at 236. It's off about 30% year to date. Now, Chipotle, what's really interesting is that one of the big problems is that while earnings kind of momentum is okay and their numbers are all right, they're refusing, and this is really what took down the stock again. You got to always listen to what management is saying. They are not going to raise prices on menu items.
Yeah, and you talked about the problem with that, which was the prices of certain commodities going sky high, and it's going to cut into margins.
Yeah, and you look at what Chipotle serves, and it's kind of like a poster child for, if costs of vegetables and beef and all that go up. That particular place, they have corn, they have chicken, they have pork, beef.
Have you ever been to a Chipotle?
Yeah, I was there yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, delicious.
Really?
I have the salad. I have like a chicken salad. I have it with just no – I don't have any beans or any rice. It's put chicken on top of a lettuce bed, some tomatoes. I try to keep it a little dietetic. Delicious.
We have real Mexican restaurants around here, and I'm always thinking, why would I go to a Chipotle?
Right.
Okay, go on.
Anyway, so I had a question. What was your – way back, you shorted the short of a lifetime, the career-making short.
Netflix.
Of Netflix. What was your price target, eventually, that you may consider buying it?
I said 50.
50. Okay. Well, I think after you said that, it ran up to maybe as high as 100 again. Remember that?
Yeah, no, it ran back up. No, it didn't go back to this ridiculous price it was at.
Right. And I was like, oh, is it ever? Well, they crapped out after hours. Reed Hastings, the CEO, said you had to get to certain levels in order to make the certain numbers and da, 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 da. Bottom line, they're nowhere near it. They're not going to make the numbers for the year. Stock was down 16% after hours to 57.09.
Yep.
So there you go.
Yeah, the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, and you know what's really fascinating is that some of the names we're talking about, like the Chipotle, Netflix, which was a leader of yesteryear, but still, you know, you got to consider them a leader of the markets over time. Yes, they fell from grace, but you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, no, I still think they have an interesting model that is working mostly.
Mostly, but not fully, and obviously reflected in the price. But you look at something like these companies are really starting to show some underlying problems. And if these companies are hurting like they are, you know, you got to kind of watch what's going on with the markets. Another big problem, Monster Energy Drink. Mm-hmm. Now, Monster's a stock that has great earnings, has great history. We had a small piece of this. We pared it back over the last few weeks. There's been some rumor about an FDA investigation into some of the ingredients, and that wasn't really good.
Supposedly, two or three people dropped dead.
Well, that's the problem. So I see a rumbling on the stock, right? You know, you can kind of see how things are flashing around in my portfolios, and we're watching. And I started just out of the corner of my eye, I started to see something. I get a little alert, news item, whatever. I look at the news item, and the stock is now down about, I don't know, 3%, let's call it. And it was kind of hanging around, maybe up a couple days ago a little bit, and now it's down about 3%. And what's that? That was a quick move. What's going on? I look at the headline, and the word death is in the headline.
Yeah, that's not good.
You could say anything you want. Don't say the word death when it comes to a company's products. I said, you know, not good. I don't know where this is going, but even the hint of something like that is a problem. So I buzzed right out of the shares. I mean, I think it was down maybe 4% by the time we blew out of it, okay? Within moments, I guess maybe the news hit major media outlets. You know, we get it through either Bloomberg or some of our other places that probably give us news a little faster. The stock is now down like 8%, 9%. Finishes the day yesterday down 14%. Today is down another 10 or 11%. Mm. Just getting absolutely obliterated. And the big question, I saw some people trying to trade this, and we were in these, I don't call them trading rooms, but in these areas where we see traders, what they're doing under comments. A lot of comments about, hey, what could be so bad? The caffeine content's the same as a cup of Starbucks with espresso and a large 64-ounce Coke and da-da-da-da-da. You know, that's bad, but people probably die of caffeine overdose, maybe have heart attacks and all that. I you know, that's something, but it seems to me that they're looking into some of the other ingredients inside these drinks.
Yeah, like taurine and some of these crazy things they put in them.
You know, I think I told you what I think taurine is, right?
Yeah, what?
It's bull urine. Let me tell you, I know this. Toro in Spanish is bull. And the urine, part of the word urine, you just say, you know, T-A-U-I-R-I-N-E is urine.
Yeah.
I think it's bull urine.
Actually, let me look what it is.
Oh, you don't think that's right?
It's funnier.
Bull urine. That's what, look at the color of a Red Bull. You ever see a color of Red Bull? It looks like bull piss.
Yeah, well, it's just, you know, can I tell you? Well, let me look it up.
It's some kind of an amino acid protein something
it's
or
some,
other.
Some crazy thing. It's right. Here it is on the Wikipedia. It's an organic acid. It's 2-aminoethane sulfonic acid. Widely distributed in animal tissues, it's a major constituent of bile.
Close as it can be.
That's what is bull bile.
It's bull bile. You know what? It's Wikipedia. Let's change that.
Bull urine. I can do that right now.
Oh, anyway. All right. Facebook beats on EPS tonight. It seems that they're doing a little bit better when it came to mobile, but big drop in the revenue from some of their major sources like Zynga. And I think they were down 9% on revenue of that platform. And Zynga is obviously laying off people, restructuring. The stock is going to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah, Zynga's a mess.
Yeah, the it's clearly a short squeeze. A lot of people were short Facebook. These are the levels, about the 20 level. That was, people were really hitting short. So you get a decent number, you're going to get a big short squeeze. We'll see where it goes from here. But that was good to see. Tempur-Pedic after hours down 18.5%, the mattress company.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you that even though I have this issue with some mattress companies, we own a company called Select Comfort.
Yeah, that's another one that advertises a lot.
Yeah, their numbers are great. Mm-hmm. They came out with a good number. The history of their revenues and EPS is fantastic. Growth is great. And they came out with earnings last week, and it's been good. Now, in sympathy, of course, they're down like 6% or 5% after, or maybe it was 3% after hours. But Tempur-Pedic's, you know, I think it's done.
Yeah, well, it's about time.
Japan's export and manufacturing numbers. You want to talk about just, it's sad. Their numbers are back to the levels that were seen just post the tsunami. Can you believe that? That's horrible.
Yeah.
Now, part of this has to do with the fact that they're in that little spat with China over the China Sea islands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those uninhabited islands that for some reason they have an issue with.
Right.
Everyone's control of and all this.
Yeah,
and
they're both. Well, it's because there's a big oil field right off the islands, and whoever has the islands gets the control of this. I think it's gas, big gas field.
Well, the bottom line is it's really taking a toll on Japan because the Chinese are totally boycotting anything Japanese, or have been.
Yeah, no, they're playing dirty. They really don't want to. There's something. This is, well, a lot of this has to do with also the reparations and the fact that even though I've mentioned this before elsewhere, people say that the Japanese have never fully apologized for the rape of Nanking. And the Chinese are demanding it every year. It comes up every year as an anniversary, and it coincided with this island crap.
Mm. And in world news, Iran says, listen to this, if you put tougher sanctions on us, then we're going to stop our oil exports. Now, aren't some of the sanctions like, we're not going to buy your oil? Right?
Yeah. Well, so but they do sell their oil to, I think, China and Russia. And if they stop selling to them, they will make the Chinese and the Russians buy someplace else, which will jack the price up.
Well, on this news, oil hits $86 today.
Yeah.
So nobody's too worried about this, it seems.
Well, it's probably a bluff.
Yeah, we'll see. But there's too much supply in the markets right now, clearly. And we'll see some kind of movement tomorrow. The Department of Energy inventories come out at 10:30 on Wednesdays. And I would think that this is just, you know, speculation for one day. With a Fed day. Tomorrow's a Fed day. The FOMC meeting results, or the rate announcement, which, what is it going to be? Nothing. What are they going to say?
Nothing.
They can't say anything. They backed themselves in a corner a bit here, actually, you know, by saying we're going to do everything we can, and it's unlimited, which means, you know, there's nothing more we do. It's unlimited.
Yeah.
So incrementally, what do? Twice unlimited? You know, you can't do anything.
No, they got nothing to say.
Right. So usually, though, on Fed days, there is an interesting move into the number because of a lot of optimism. And if you look, I think we've looked at this before. On Fed days, there is a weird bias to the upside. Like, if you were to take out all Fed days in the last, I don't know, 20 years or something, the stock market would be down. The differential between that one day per month and Fed announcement days is something like, I don't know, like an annual rate of 3% per year or some ridiculous number. Now, what I found there is, you see, I found this little cool little site here. It's mypivots.com/trading/Fed days. I thought this was kind of cool. Click on that.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
A little something, but now FOMC days, by the way, are rate announcements are at 2 p.m. Okay, so you got to look at the chart and look at the 2 p.m. time, right? Or into it. And kind of click through there, and you'll see about, I wonder what time this is, because actually a couple of these look like, no, 2 o'clock. Yeah, it's 2 o'clock. So usually what you get is this kind of movement into, a rise into it, and then a big move afterwards in one direction or the other. See that?
Yeah.
And oftentimes it's up.
Yeah, this is people, yeah, you know, I can see this happening. You know that Bernanke's announced he's not going to run again.
He announced it?
Yeah. Did you miss that?
I missed that. When did he say that?
I think it was sometime today. He says, I'm done. This is it. I'm not running for reappointment or whatever it is.
Wow.
I think he's just wants to get out before the...
I don't blame him.
For the whole thing.
That'd be a lot of stress, man. Yeah. The CEO is stepping...
Hey, it was fine while I was there.
Exactly. I saved everything. And you screwed it up. Anyway, so I'll put that on the website under the DH Unplugged show notes for this week. By the way, just to let you know that everybody needs to know, this is a very important one I'm going to say right now, that the 8th Annual Podcast Awards slate announcement is going to be announced on Sunday, October 28th. And I'm sure people voted for No Agenda and for DH Unplugged, the Disciplined Investor, so... When that is announced, we will let you know over at podcastawards.com. And you can then go vote once a day for your favorite podcast that is on the slate.
I should go vote.
Yeah, well, you can't do it yet.
No.
They haven't announced the slate yet.
No.
But I think...
It's probably going to be similar to the slate of last year, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. You know, but there's the People's Choice, there's the Business, there's the General, you know, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so let's continue on. Some other good things going on. What's the deal? Have you checked out the Microsoft Surface? I think they're – I love their new commercial with
I
the clicking.
I do, too. I have to I should probably write about it.
That is the best commercial ever.
They've got some really good commercials. Their Windows 8 commercial is quite nice with the little girl who paints a smile and goes running around. That thing is very, very tight and nice, and it's got a nice music background. It's very eye-catching. It's really good, I have to say. And Microsoft, I don't know what changed, because Microsoft has never done decent ads. They've always either been really funky and kind of cute but not effective, or just crap, one of the two. They have never done a real – yeah, it's kind of nice. It's not a thing you'd ever talk positively about like these.
The Surface one, just the – what would we call it? The theatrical nature of it, the musical part of it, the symmetry of it, synchronization of it.
Yeah,
is very cool. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. So with the clicking and the moving and all. Now, one thing about the Surface, because they came out with the announcement of the pricing last week, and for anybody that doesn't know what the Surface is, it's now Microsoft's
pad
entry into the pad market, but it's much more of a they're billing it more as a, would you say, a mini computer for the one?
I don't know.
Would you?
Well, the new one is the RT, the first one, which is overpriced. Mm-hmm. And I wrote an entire column about the pricing being off. So that's not going to be very successful. And unfortunately, again, the marketing problem here is that if you know, it's easier to price something low and then raise the price because there's such a demand for it, or you're going to do something new, or you're going to fancy it up, than it is to have a high price and then lower the price, because then it looks as though you're panicking, and then people immediately don't think much of the product. It's really a very awkward thing to do. You have to be real careful with pricing because of that.
The keyboard itself, because it's a little keyboard that snaps out.
Yeah, it's a cheap keyboard.
It's $129.
It's too high.
$129.
The keyboard should be $49.95 max.
Which would be an expensive keyboard to begin with.
Exactly. But it would be, but you could accept it because it's custom colored and just, you know, this and that. So be a $50 keyboard's fine, and then the machines are at least $100 over what they should be. I had figured out what the prices should have been. I think we ran it at Market Watch. And
when I saw the price, I was kind of surprised too. Although some of the things that's interesting is you can use on the higher one, the more expensive one, you know, it's almost a full version of Windows 8 with...
No, it's still an RC. It's not a Windows 8 at all.
I thought that one of them is a Windows 8 where you could do Microsoft Word and all that stuff on
you
it.
You can do Microsoft Word, but it's the RT Word. As far as I know, the Windows 8 computers have not been announced. These are still all RT.
Now, let me ask you something. I just read you a list of all the things that Apple just came out with They come out with a refresh of this. They come out with a refresh of that. They have the new iPhone recently. They have a new OS recently. They have a refresh of the iMacs. But the list goes on and on, right?
Yeah.
In a very compressed period of time since the last announcements, right?
Yeah, it was actually pretty tight.
And Microsoft can't get out a goddamn product for how long?
A while.
A while. They can't. Windows 8 is nowhere.
Well, it's coming out this Friday.
How long did it take for an OS?
Well, yeah, they're having a little problems with their they're just slow. They never used to be this bad.
It's unbelievable.
I always thought that Microsoft, you know, I think it's just the bureaucracy of that company has gotten horrible, and nobody wants to do anything because they're all going to fear of getting fired.
Is it that, or is it the horrors of the past Windows ME that continues to haunt them?
I don't think the people working there now don't even remember that. I really think it's as purely the bureaucracy that's been created.
I don't know. It's honestly unbelievable how tightly Apple runs. And by the way, when you get the product, it's not like there's glitches in it. It works. It does its thing. So that means there had to be a whole testing phase, right?
Yeah.
So not only do they build a product, but then they test the crap out of it so that when you get it, there's no bugs. Meanwhile, you get a Microsoft product, and then you're beginning your process of security updates and bug fixes.
It's ridiculous. And I think Microsoft doesn't have long to live, although, I mean, I'm not talking about like the company's going to fold or anything, but they're very slowly evolving into a Honeywell, and that's where I think the company's going to end up.
If
they can't get off the stick here with a little more speed, there's not even like a high tech company anymore. They're very slow.
If they didn't have Office, which is kind of everybody's using Outlook and things like that, right? And if they didn't have the server market, obviously, Windows would be nothing. You wouldn't need Windows. You just need an OS in the background to run this stuff.
Well, the way they're thinking about things going toward the computer?
It's not the Surface.
The Surface. Yeah. I was thinking Source. They're kind of buying into the death of the PC because, sales are flat. But sales are flat at some huge number, so I don't see the PC dying anytime soon. But, these other machines are more exciting. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. Okay, let's see what else we have. Let's see. Okay, U.S. Customs gets rid of the RIM device, picking up the Apple. Another enterprise client is down.
Yeah.
Which is pretty sad. Another company that can't come up with a product.
Yeah, same thing.
And the difference between Microsoft and RIM is that Microsoft, they don't come out with a product, people still buy whatever, doing their thing, whatever,
They have a monopoly. They're not in the situation of RIM, which is like a poor company that
is hanging by a thread.
Yeah, it's terrible, terrible.
That needs to come out with a product, and they just can't do it. The new BlackBerry 10 deal. Let's see what else we got here. Okay, some news out of Europe again. Moody's downgraded several Spanish banks. Merkel is now fussing about the EC banking role and yada, yada. So every day there's a new thing. Although today, perfectly timed, exactly when the market is starting to roll over a bit here, exactly to the second of 3 p.m. this afternoon, which is usually the time for the last ditch 1 hour ride up or ramp up. Bank of England comes out with an announcement that there's plenty of room for them to add more stimulus into the banking system and into the economy over in England.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, that was held back till that time to get it out because, what time is it over there?
Right, exactly.
But, at the same time, 3 o'clock,
it's like
could
2
do
in the
two.
Morning, I believe.
Whatever, it's 9 o'clock at night, yeah. The economics of the last few weeks kind of interesting. We saw that 7.8% job print, which obviously took Jack Welch out of a few jobs with his rant. And initial claims 2 weeks ago dropped an amazing 35,000 out of nowhere. And the blame, there was some discussion about California not sending in their claims numbers in a timely fashion so it could be recorded.
Could be.
And then that wasn't confirmed, but the next week – you had an extra like 25,000 in claims out of nowhere.
Yeah, it would make
sense
then.
What is that? Economic numbers are clearly kind of squishy. We're going to see some durable goods come out. We'll see some housing numbers come out. So the rest of the week this week, we're going to see some GDP numbers come out. The advanced GDP number, looking for about a 1.8% print. Wahoo. And we'll see what happens. But definitely the rest of this week is a bunch of interesting numbers coming out in the U.S. Tomorrow we're going to see some things out of Europe, their PMI numbers, and see how bad things are over there.
So did you look at this trade of Goldman Sachs?
Which one?
The October 17th sale of 1.3 billion shares of stock.
Oh, by the direct by Goldman Sachs from Goldman Sachs, right?
Yeah, by the Goldman Sachs group.
Yeah. I don't know what that is. That may have been I don't know what that was.
I think it was just balancing the books, 39 million shares.
It could have been a transfer to another company because they're splitting something up. It could have been. I don't think it was necessarily, you know, it could have been a lot of things, exercise of options. But I don't think it was necessarily like a real sale. Those kind of numbers, you know, that's a lot of shares.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe they sold something back to the government or something. Who knows with them?
All right. Well, let's take a look at our.
Wait, I need to ask you something.
Yeah.
Two things. First of all, goodbye to Newsweek print edition.
Yeah.
Good riddance, or you sad?
I don't read it. I haven't looked at it for years. I mean, they still have articles. I go look at them online.
Right.
It's another magazine. It has a lot of subscribers. I think they had 2 million and 1.3, I guess, is their last number, which is a lot of subscribers. But
yeah. It
doesn't do you much good if you're costing you $1 million a week in losses.
What are they going to do? They're just going to be online now?
Yeah.
So we have another. But last thing I just want to mention,
which makes you kind of bleed even more because you can't. There's no money to be made,
right?
Like you can with print.
So the last thing I think I need to bring up, because this is kind of one of the more important points of the news I think I saw this week, was that the state's highest court in the Court of Appeals, I believe it was in New York, ruled on Tuesday that lap dancers performed at Night Moves, strip club, were not dramatic or musical arts performances. According to this, the court ruled 4-3.
They have an emotional effect on the witness.
Yes, but now they are not going to qualify for tax exemption under that dramatic musical arts performances. How do you like that?
Wow, they're just out to. They're just trying to. They're trying to ruin the economy.
Yep, it's picky, picky, picky. You know, I mean, I don't know what kind of people are out there that don't really appreciate the
art,
overall
the art.
Exactly. All right, let's get to our stocks. Actually, I'm going to change one of these here. All right, Hewlett Packard. Is it a low again? I think it maybe it's down 3% today. I don't know.
It's ludicrous.
Bad. And Dell. I mean, obviously, what happened
Dell's
was
Dell's catching up, though.
It is. It could get there. Western Digital came out with their numbers and looked ahead, and also talked about the slowness in the PC market, and it was just a mess. So that was a real big problem. Even with this downturn, your Cracker Barrel is just going right along. It's just. Have you eaten in one of those?
No, I wouldn't. Wouldn't.
I've been there a couple of times, and I just felt. I felt creepy.
Yeah.
I had that. It just something about the place was creepy.
Yeah, well.
And greasy or something. I don't know. TransDigm Digital Group is up 3.5%. Chipotle, we stopped out of that, fortunately, because after we bought it, went up nicely, and then it came way back down. Like I said, we stopped at about 314. It's now at about, 236?
Yeah.
Yeesh. Yahoo short. Oh, boy. Yeah. You got a shot in the arm on that today.
Oh, am I out now?
Not yet. No, because it didn't go up that much. You didn't have the up. You've been kind of...
People come to their senses, and this thing will drop like a rock.
Yep. Let's see what's going on. Vietnam's just sitting there. Green Mountain Coffee.
We have a lot of green on this chart. This
a lot of green.
Looking. Yeah, it's a good-looking chart.
AGCO up 2%. Baidu up 7.8%. And my short on Hain Celestial Group is down 7.1%. Now I'm going to change something. Well, actually, you know, I'll add two shorts here, okay? I really would like to put a long on here.
I have a long.
Oh, good. What do you got?
I have, and you have to look at this chart and tell me that this isn't a winner. And this is, again, this is another one of the insider buying and buying and buying. BLK.
BlackRock.
Yeah.
Yeah, BlackRock is interesting. Let's take a look at stock charts, because that's what I have here. I don't have my other stuff with me, my professional setup. BLK is a good company. Actually, they do like the iShares, you know, all the ETF. Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, isn't that a beauty, that chart?
Yeah. Kind of tracks the market a bit. Let's see.
A little bit, but...
It's 50 days starting to cross down over its 200, which is not great, but it's more like the 200's catching up. It looks like you have support about 185. That's decent. You got a little bit of a hold, but 185 on a few levels here. Didn't really get hurt today in the market, which is good. What you need is for trading to pick up. And you need, you know, that would be not trading of BlackRock, but trading of securities.
Yeah, well, that may not happen.
Mm-hmm. You know, and they also are really a great group, just a great group, a great company. You can see the run from 162 to 187. When's earnings on that?
I don't know.
Let's see. BlackRock earnings, BlackRock. Earnings surprises, no. Earnings, 6 days ago, earnings preview. Maybe they came out already. I'm going here. Okay, let's see. I guess they came out. Another big day of earnings again today. Yeah, this is October. Yeah, they must have come out already. No, actually, I don't see them there. BlackRock is the largest asset manager in the world. Looking at fund flows, they're cutting fees. They cut some fees on the iShares ETFs. Net gain investment decrease. Yeah, this is last week they came out with earnings. So this was on the 17th or the 18th. So it was what, Thursday or Friday, right? So let's see how the stock's done. Yeah, they peaked about that time, came down with the markets. They cut their fees. You know, one of the things that's interesting that's happening is a lot of these companies are really challenging each other for these ETFs.
Yeah.
And who have the lowest fees. And one of the things they had was that they had like the iShares S&P 500 or the MSCI Morgan Stanley Capital International, or there was a couple different ones they had that they would track. Well, those tracking ones that you have to pay a licensing fee. And some of the licensing fees were absurd. So they cut out some of these, a lot of these funds cut out recently MSCI, and they're going to an alternative measure, which is much cheaper.
Ah.
So what's going to be interesting, they'll cut down the fees, but then there's going to be a rebalancing happening inside the fund. So that may create a little market movement. But yeah, no, this is a good stock, a very good stock. It has a nice trend line. It's got a nice trajectory. Let's see what the weekly looks like. Got to look at the weekly. Weekly is always good to look at. Let's update the weekly. Let's see on the weekly. Still a good trajectory. You got this trend line here, which is good. You don't want to break this 185, 184 level. That would not be great. You got a couple of tops here at the 200 level. You had really good momentum there. What was this? This is in March. It really dipped down. You got a weird, you know, if you roll over here, I mean, if you come down to the, let's call it the 180 line about. You know, you need to see it pop back up and kind of come through there, or else you're going to probably move down to about the 160s. You would see probably right here is about, what price is that? About 172. So you'll be safe from a stop out point on this. There's
right,
plenty of
we'll
room.
Take a look at it. Anyway, you like put it. That on there. At least we have a long.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd just soon short everything, but this looked like, yeah. I liked it. I'm sticking with my theory about these guys buying. When they're buying like crazy, they're buying for a reason. Especially in this market.
Yep, I hear you. Let's see. So I'm going to add. I don't know when the earnings. You know, Dollar General. We're going to add. A lot of these dollar stores have been getting kind of whipped around pretty hard.
You ever been in these places?
Yeah, I've been to a few. The ones that piss me off, the ones that don't charge a dollar.
None of them do anymore.
It's a couple of them do, but they
we
really
had a
just.
Great, we used to have a great one over in El Cerrito that was a real old fashioned. It wasn't part of a chain. There were actual bunch of Chinese that would apparently go over there and bring stuff back, and everything was a dollar. And they had some stuff that was just fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's just hard to explain, but there's a lot of good stuff. But that, they folded. People go to the bigger ones.
Actually, they came out with a 47% increase in second quarter earnings. Sales grew 10%. Raises full year guidance.
It's like a modern version of Woolworths or the nickel and dime stores, whatever they used to be called. 5 and 10.
A couple of these stocks have taken a real smack. Dollar Tree, DLTR. If you look at a stock chart of DLTR,
Recently,
had a couple of days that were just really ugly. And there's some some question about what's going on. Yeah, see, right here, it went from 45 to 39 in the last 2 weeks. Actually, it's an interesting chart if you look at the weekly chart.
Really
on
took a dive.
Look, can you look at a weekly chart, though? It's kind of interesting. It's very I don't think I've seen this pattern. I don't know what it is, but look at that straight line down on the weekly. You see that?
Yeah, it's weird.
I mean, you got a straight line up forever, and then that, and then DG took also a ride down. It's right now, this is on the weekly I'm looking at here. So it also came down from about 55 at the top to about 47. But there's underneath these areas about here, there's kind of a little bit of a hole. But the one that I like, I don't know if you can see it on these charts, and this is all going to be dependent on what the dollar does, what silver does, and a few other things, is SLW, silver Wheaton. And Silver Wheaton is, you know, like a, it's a mining company, you know, essentially. It was down 5.5% today. I want to see where the earnings are coming in here.
Why do you like these guys?
I don't. We're shorting them.
Oh, okay.
11.5. Okay, so, yeah, so they have a while to go before they come out with the earnings. It's 11.5. If you could, I don't know if you can see this in the chart. Maybe the daily chart shows it better. Let me look at it. You see that? You see the general, if you go, if you're on the weekly chart, the general left to right from the top about 47 back in 11 to where we are now, right?
Yeah.
And it's kind of been a series of lower highs and lower lows. Then you got the big pop up, right? And you kind of came right to the top of the peaks of every other one. Now, if you switch to a daily chart, the run up that we recently saw, okay, so I guess this recent August run up from, 24 to 38. There was like no volume. And if you look underneath these levels right here, so let's call it under 38, there's like no volume there down to, you know, like 35. That's about 10%. There's like, there was nothing that really did anything there. So anybody that kind of got into those positions, there's no commitment to those levels. So if we continue to see this kind of movement, and do you see the consolidation there?
Yeah.
From September through now, it's like in a tight range between, 41 and 38? Well, it's going to break one way or the other. So we're taking the side that it's going to break to the downside here. And again, it's going to be dependent on, you know, like the dollar, and it's going to be dependent, you know, tomorrow may be a weird day for this because of the Fed meeting, but we'll take that.
You know, the Bollinger Bands are coming together, so something's going to happen.
Yeah. Let's see here. Okay, so we'll put that up. Those three, I'm going to put short here. And you can all obviously see all of these on the Google spreadsheet that we put together. And just as a mention, this is not a solicitation to buy or sell or offer to do anything. Use your own judgment. If you want to have somebody tell you where to go, check out Trigger Point Research, 14-day free trial. We just nailed Western Digital with a 12% gain in about 20 days. We had the Green Mountain that we talked about. We got that, hit that for a nice big gain. And if you take a look at that, we do both short and long. 14-day free trial. Go check it out. Tell them John sent you. How's that?
Yeah, that would work.
Yep, John sent you. And then, but you know, use an advisor. Make sure to do your research before you invest, because investing is very risky.
It's gambling.
Yeah, so I have
people.
To say. All I have to say about that.
All right. So we'll hopefully do another show next Tuesday.
Yeah, please, because people get
right. I know they get
people get cranky.
You know,
oh,
even though
goodness.
I think we cover everything, you know, pretty well. I don't know what they're looking for.
I let me make a formal request here in front of everybody, okay? I want to make a cameo on the No Agenda show.
We don't have guests.
I know, but I'm not really a guest.
We can use a clip.
I can't say hello or something. I want some of those. I need some of those Adam noises and stuff.
We have, you know, here's the problem. I would say, no problem, Andrew. I work with you all the time. I've known you for a long time, and you're a pal.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to even bring it up like this, but it's like if I let you chew gum.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you. I'm not chewing gum. I understand.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I understand.
Because
no, I totally get it.
I know people would be throwing it. Well, you let Horowitz do it.
No, I got it. I got it. You know what? And we don't have guests on this show. And if Curry wants to come on, forget it.
No chance. He's done.
Nope. Curry can't come on, you know, with that voice
no,
and that
I have
boom.
You know, one of the things we've – that is overmodulation. you know, one of the things when we started doing that show, it was done as a conversation between two people. This is what we do in our show here, too. And people can listen in on the conversation because two guys talking to each other know each other. You know, it's different than getting somebody on the show, even though you're not suggesting you want to be a guest. You just want to say hello. Yeah. It changes it from a conversation that people eavesdrop on into a show. Even though, right. I mean, the No Agenda show has got every element of a show on it because you seldom have a conversation with your wife on the phone with somebody honking a horn or playing a slide whistle, although I've done it. Yeah. With your wife on the line, so
oh yeah,
but you know, and so we when people ask me anything, I say no guests.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
No anybody, and then I don't have to worry about booking things, which is.
I agree. But you guys also you stream it live. Is that is that easy to do? Should we start doing that?
We probably should.
I mean, how hard is that?
It's doable, but I never thought it was that valuable, but. Well, there's enough people out there that like to listen to stuff streamed live because they, you know, especially a show like this where we actually may have some sort of an insight that might affect their stock investment as opposed to the thing posting at midnight.
So let me ask this question.
A lot of people listening.
So we got. Let me ask this question. We have a we had a lot of comments about how people use the show. Remember that? I mean, a lot.
Right.
So this is what I want you to go over to the comments on this show or send us an email, whatever, and tell us. If you would actually be, you know, if that would be interesting. We're not, you know, just if you would want to like have, I guess, where they have the chat room and a live thing going on, a stream. And we do this on Tuesday evenings, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Western.
Right.
And if that,
Pacific.
Right, that would be something that you would want to, you know, if that was something that you would do. You don't have to, but if you would. And if we find enough people that want to do it, maybe we'll do it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an idea. We'll listen to what the public wants. Anyway,
yeah, we will.
Until next Tuesday then. Of course, it forces the end of doing the show all the time. We won't be able to skip as much. But,
correct.
all right. We'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.